title that I would like to give it today, for those of you that are taking notes, is really one of a question, one to really make us think. And the question is, are you a Christ follower? Or are you a C follower? Just an introduction that I'd like to share with you regarding a childhood fishing experience that I had. I'm from Mississippi, so in Mississippi we had lots of land. My dad had probably about 80 to 100 acres of land, so there was pastures behind the back of the house. And I had four older brothers, and there were a lot of kids in the neighborhood. So I remember on this one particular time, they were saying that we were going to all go fishing, and it was quite an exciting experience. So I too decided that I wanted to go fishing. Now in the country, you know, individual people had ponds. So in these ponds, you know, they would stock the ponds, you know, with different type of fish and everything. So we were going fishing and we were all excited. And back then, you know, we didn't have the privilege of going to the store to get the bait or the worm. You know, we would go out into the back of the yard and lift up, I guess you could say, boards, you know, and, you know, get our own bait and get our own little worms and, you know, put them in whatever we could find. And we were going fishing. So I was excited because, you know, sometimes being the only girl, they didn't always want me to go with them. But there were a lot of things that I did get to do. So in going fishing, we were on the bank and everyone was getting, you know, their little fishing poles or whatever it is that they had to work with. Nothing fancy, but, you know, just enjoying country living. And I remember the fact that I had something and I caught something really big on my little pole. And I was just really excited and I just couldn't wait to pull it up. And I just want to share with you the disappointment when I pulled it up and I realized that I had a turtle. That just really did something to me, because after that, I really didn't care to go fishing anymore, because of course they made fun of me. Ah, ha, ha, ha. You know, she caught a turtle. And some of you may ask, why do I share that experience? I share that because sometimes our experiences impact our ability to receive things from people, to receive words. And sometimes we allow those experiences to impact what we can receive from the Lord. And I don't know, and maybe you don't have a fishing story, but maybe your story is something else. And as such, you've allowed it to cripple you to where you can't receive certain things. So for some people, when they hear about different stories about fishing, if they don't like fishing, they may think, that's not for me. And so as a result of that, they may tune it out, may not even listen and get an opportunity to hear what it is that the Lord would have to say. And if you detest it, when you hear something about it, you have a mental barrier. Or perhaps when pastor is teaching or preaching about our 2015 theme, making disciples, each one win one, maybe you get a little uncomfortable because you've shared the gospel before and perhaps the person rejected it, or even you've been inviting people to come to church and they tell you that they're going to come and then they don't show up. So when we start talking about fishing, or when you see the net and you see all of these different little fishes or fish up on the altar, maybe you don't totally connect to it because you have a fishing experience or something else that prohibits you from making the connection. And just to get a feel for where we are today, how many, by show of hands, have ever gone fishing, ever in your life? Oh, this is good. Okay. Anyone you have never been fishing before in your life? Okay, all right. Do you like fish or seafood or anything like that? For those of you that never, okay, all right, so we're going somewhere. So all of us will be able to relate to what the Holy Spirit has given for me to share with you today. Fishing is an activity of hunting for fish, or the goal is to catch fish for most people. It's a pastime for a lot of people in the United States. It's considered a sport for some, and for others, it's an occupation. Fishers are encouraged to implement good practices such as not to litter, to use correct bait and fishing gear, to pay attention to the local rules. Now, if we apply that to us as Christian followers or Christian fishers, we are encouraged to love. We're encouraged to unify, to be unified. We're encouraged to exemplify Christ in our lifestyle. We're encouraged to obey God. And those are just to name a few. Fishers have safety measures such as wearing a life jacket if they're going to be in a boat, using caution when they're baiting or removing the hook, as well as obeying the laws. As Christian followers slash fishers, we have safety measures also. Number one is to follow the Holy Spirit, to deny ourselves, to learn and to apply Scripture throughout our lives, and to lift up Jesus. That's what we were doing earlier when we were praising and worshiping. The techniques for catching fish include hand gathering, spearing, netting. You see the net? We have about four nets, even at the pulpit area. Angling, trapping, and those aren't all. The strategies for soul winning include spiritual preparedness, proper training, sharing Christ anytime, any place, anywhere, praying, and seeking divine opportunities and allowing the Holy Spirit to do the drawing. Some of the examples of fishing equipment are hooks, lines, sinkers, rods, reels, baits, as well as tackle boxes. And a lot of stuff can be found in the tackle boxes. The Christian follower or fisher has also some tools. One is the Holy Bible, one in which I know most of us, hopefully all of us, brought with us today. It's our sword, the Word of God, our prayers, guidance of the Holy Spirit, spiritual songs, answered prayers, and our own personal encounters with God, just to name a few. When we go back and look at the scripture that we've read, and we're going to look at about three key areas. This is at a time when Jesus was beginning his ministry. And John the Baptist had already been in prison. So as a result of that, and that's found at around verse 12 of this same scripture. And Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison. He departed unto Galilee. And so as he was in Galilee, he left Nazareth, and then he dwelt in Capernaum. And so we picked up in verse 17 where it says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, meaning change, stop. And perhaps Jesus, via the Holy Spirit, is saying that to some of us today. There are some things that maybe we need to repent from, some things that we need to stop. Some things that we need to totally turn away from. And the other part of that scripture says, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus walked about the Sea of Galilee, and he saw these two brethren. But of the three points, the first one that I want to look at is the call is from Christ. And that's in verse 19. And that's something that we need to understand, because sometimes when we hear things from certain people, we think that it's them saying it. But we have to get to the point to where we realize that it's the Holy Spirit that is speaking from us to us. Yes, I'm physically standing in front of you, but it isn't what I have to say to you. It's what the Lord has to say. And we have to recognize the voice of Jesus as the voice of authority. Because we have so many voices that we hear. We have so many people that have advice. I would do this. I would do that. And sometimes we run to those individuals seeking, what would you do? Help me out. And sometimes what we really need to do is go before the Lord face down and ask him, Lord, what would you have for me to do in this situation? Now, God will use people to confirm what he has already told us. Just like sometimes when we come in here, confirmation has already gone forward. And so sometimes we act surprised, or sometimes we're able to say, thank you, Lord, for that confirmation. But in here, we have to look at who is it that's making the call. It is Jesus. And exactly what does he say in verse 15? excuse me, not 15, but 19. He says, follow me, and I, and this is Jesus talking, will make you fishers of men. So when we look at that, a Christian follower or a soon-to-be, because my prayer is that someone will make a decision today that they're going to follow him, that it is vital as well as very essential for us to recognize this voice of authority. And Jesus is summarizing it by saying, follow me. And not only are you going to follow me, but as you're following me, I want you to be the vessel to win others, not just to take what I'm sharing with you and what you're experiencing and keeping it to yourself, but the expectation is that you're going to share that with others. Let's look at the purpose and the promise. God gets the glory. God does the calling. He equips for the work. He empowers and blesses what he ordains or sanctions. The words are crucial for us to hear that, because when we allow that to sink in us, we will come in here and we will change our perspective of what we hear from the songs or the words that are going forward. And our prayer has to be, Lord, help us not to see the person or get distracted by the person that is standing here. Help me to be able to see you. Help my eyes to look past so that I can hear. Open my ears, remove, unplug any hindrances. And sometimes when we hear about, you know, be careful about, you know, who we're sitting with, sometimes we take offense to that. But if that's going to be a distraction from you, you should not, or we should not want anything that's going to separate or prohibit us from having a right relationship or a right fellowship with God. Because when we come in here, we are coming here for our own personal encounter. Now, we may leave the house together in the same vehicle, but when I walk in here, my focus isn't upon whether Pastor or Joshua or any of my co-workers that I may have invited. Now, I pray that we will all receive something, but my focus is on, Lord, what is it that you have for me? And we have to see this. It's personal, because the Lord could be right just hitting you directly. And everybody else sitting around like, oh, that ain't for me. But you know that's for you. And we have to be able to receive that and say, Lord, thank you. We don't want to be dull, because we can be so dull that the Lord could just be moving and we don't even see it. Because you can't get past the physical, the person. You can't get past whether or not they misspelled a word or up here or misspoke a word or, you know, just whatever, just little things. And those are hindrances. And the Lord is saying, no, we're going to get some things right. I need to make sure that I am able to hear the call of Christ. Number two, and this is the one where we're really going to spend most of our time, the response is individually, and it's also timely. Let's look at verses 20 and 22. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Verse 22. And they immediately left their ship and their father and followed him. Straightway and immediately. The point for us here, they positioned themselves to walk with Christ, to see how he worked, to learn his mind, methods, and ways. As Christian followers, we're even giving some advice in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved. Why do we need to do this? Unto God. So why? So that we can rightly divide the word of the Lord. So we need to allow ourselves to be taught via sermons, Sunday school, life application classes, worship on Wednesday, Bible studies, ministry-specific focus teachings and studying, prayer, personal devotion, and quiet time. The call to Christian fellowship and service is a very serious call. And so the question is, have you accepted it? Have you rejected it? Or have you ignored the call? Have you given God the hand? Christian followers must be diligent, faithful, and loving. And some of the things that we want to demonstrate is, number one, perseverance. Not to be discouraged, but willing to try again. Because sometimes when things fail or things don't go our way, we get discouraged. We give up. And the Lord is saying no to someone in here today. You need to persevere. I'm still with you. I've heard your prayer, but you need to hang in there. Maybe for someone else, it's about being courageous. This work involves risk. Because sometimes when you're out in the storm, you don't know what's going to happen. And when you're out there fishing, you can leave and it's just as clear. But when you're out there on that boat, maybe a storm can come. And same thing in our lives. Sometimes we go places and you leave the house in a good mood. But you walk into whatever your environment is, whether it's your office, someone else's house, and before you know it, you're in a storm. So you have to be courageous when you're in that. Why is that? Because there's also danger. And sometimes there's danger in telling people the truth. So we have to be courageous that when the Lord has told us what to say or how to act, that we do it in a way that we're doing it out of courage, not a sense of arrogance, but we're being courageous about what it is that we're doing because there's risk. So not only is there risk with me being a follower, because most of us, we don't even know all of what God even has for us. And if some of us knew it, we would, oh, no, that's too risky. Oh, I don't want that. Oh, Lord, just let me just keep coming in here. And I don't want to say anything to anyone. And the Lord is saying, no, you need to open your mouth. I've given you a testimony. And I'm telling you, you need to share what you've been through. But we're like, no, not this time. Lord, give me another time. And perhaps he will. But we want to learn to be obedient to the calling of the Holy Spirit. The next thing is patience. Quick results aren't always guaranteed. And we must learn to wait. Just like some people probably had to wait on some of us for something. And we have to learn sometimes to wait on them. And most importantly, we have to learn to wait on God. Because just because we've prayed and we've asked him for something, that doesn't mean he has to do it right then. Because sometimes it's in our best interest that he doesn't do it. How many of you got some prayers that you prayed and you're like, Lord, I'm so glad you didn't answer that now? Because when you can look back, you realize that that wasn't good for me. And that's where we have to be. Lord, remove anything from me that's not like you or anything that's going to take me away from having a loving relationship with you. So patience, very important when we're out here fishing as well as when we're following. Because sometimes we're ready to push the ministry to another level, and the Lord is like, mm-mm. Maybe you're ready, but maybe we collectively as a body, perhaps we're not ready. So while I'm ready to go forward to the next level, I'm also praying, Lord, what do you have for me to learn during this time period? What do you have for me to work on during this? Help me so that I can be a helper also to my brothers and my sisters. Also, we got to be watchful, not watching with the purpose of catching someone in a fault, not that kind of watchfulness, but watching with an eye for the right movement, to know when to speak, when and how to pray, and not only that, but sometimes when to be silent and just to wait. You got to know what the environment is, and you have to be flexible for the purpose of winning souls. Because we have to remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the ninth chapter, verses 19 through 27, where he talked about being all things to all men. And so if we're not under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we miss opportunities. People come in and out. And how often do we start the day, Lord, I'm expecting you to send someone my way, but help me not to miss them when they come by. Help me to see them, awaken me to what's going on in my environment so that I got a watchful eye and I have my ears open so I can see what it is that you're doing. The other thing that we have to remember as being followers of Christ, we got to keep ourselves out of sight.